Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 through to 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. It happened in the year that King Uzziah died, that Isaiah had this vision. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings, and with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, everybody say Isaiah. Isaiah said, "Woe is me, for I am," what is that word? "For I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people with unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, Isaiah said, "And lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged." Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Then said I, that's Isaiah, he said, "Here I am, send me." What a tremendous transformation in the life of Isaiah. And it all happened in the year that King Uzziah died. He had a powerful experience with God. He came to the point where he said, "Woe is me, for I am undone. I'm undone." I want to preach just simply that. I am undone. I am undone. Let's thank the Lord. We love you, Lord. We thank you for your word. Right now, Lord, our attention is focused on your word. Lord God, we need you to speak to us. Be our bread today. Lord, help us to eat of your word today, and help it to fill our belly, Lord God, to keep us, oh God. Lord, help us to receive revelation and life transformation through the power of your word. Lord, I pray, Lord, that people, Lord, would come to salvation today. Lord, they would repent of their sins and be baptized in your name. Lord, people would be filled with the Holy Spirit, oh God, through the preaching of your word and the revelation that we're going to get from your word today. We pray all of this in Jesus' name, and everybody say, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Isaiah said these words. He said, "Woe is me, for I am." Everybody say it. I am what? Next word. Undone. I am undone. Isaiah is a tremendous prophet of God. In fact, out of all the prophets in the Bible, I like to read about Isaiah probably more than all of the others. Jeremiah is good, but Isaiah, he seems to be, and I believe, is one of the most inspired characters in the Word of God. Isaiah lived about 700 years before the birth of Jesus Christ, and Isaiah prophesied the coming of Jesus Christ to salvage mankind from sin. Isaiah's prophecies seem to focus so much on the birth of Jesus and the purpose of Jesus. Isaiah said things about Jesus like, it seemed like the way he wrote the prophecies, it seemed like Isaiah was there watching it all happen. It seemed like he was there with Jesus, just like, although Isaiah was 700 years before, the way he writes it seems like he was like one of the disciples and watching everything unfold in real time. It was Isaiah who said that Jesus would be born of a virgin and would bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. It was Isaiah who said these words, "For unto us a child is born," 700 years before he was, "unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called," let's say it, "Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." Isaiah prophesied so much about the birth of Jesus Christ. More specifically, he prophesied that Jesus would have a Galilean ministry in Isaiah 9. He also prophesied that Jesus would be spat on and that Jesus would be struck in Isaiah chapter 50. In Isaiah chapter 52, Isaiah prophesied specifically that Jesus' countenance and his body would be disfigured by the suffering that he would have to endure. Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 53 that Jesus would die with transgressors. He also prophesied in the same chapter, Isaiah 53, that Jesus would be buried in a rich man's tomb. Even his prophetic description of Calvary, it seems that Isaiah was there watching the crucifixion as he prophesied the crucifixion of Jesus with such great detail. In Isaiah 53, verse 7, it says he was oppressed. He was afflicted, and yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. The clarity and the vision in which Isaiah prophesies is astounding, because he sees Jesus born. He sees his death on the cross, right down to the details of what Jesus would be going through on that cross and leading up to the cross. I believe, I do. That God had inspired him, of course. But maybe even more so, that as God was inspiring Isaiah with these prophecies, that Isaiah was seeing visions of these things happening and writing down what he saw. But in the book of Isaiah, there seems to be a transition. Everybody say a transition. There seems to be a transition in the life and the ministry of the prophet Isaiah. When Isaiah, there was a time when he was just operating as a normal prophet, just like all the other prophets. But then there is a transition when Isaiah begins to operate in the deepest depths of God's inspiration, the deepest depths. The transition happens somewhere between chapter 5 and chapter 7. In the first 5 chapters of Isaiah, Isaiah's observations are there concerning the sin of Israel. And that's what prophets did. They had a great way of just calling sin out for what it is. He's calling out all the sins of Israel in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. In chapter 1, he says, "Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet," he's calling them out, "they shall be as white as snow. And though your sins be as red like crimson, they shall be like wool." He's calling out sins of idolatry, sins of greed, sins of Sodom. He's calling it all out. And all through the first 5 chapters, listen to me carefully this morning, all the way through the first 5 chapters of Isaiah, there's one word that you hear Isaiah say continually. Woe, woe, woe to them, woe to Israel, woe, woe, and woe. He's saying woe to them that are greedy, woe to them that are partiers, woe to them that are mockers, woe to them that are perverted, woe to them that are self-conceited, woe to them that are lawless, woe and woe and woe. And that was the way the prophet seemed to do it. But there was a transition. Something happened between chapter 5 and chapter 7. Because he was no longer pronouncing a woe on Israel only. Don't get me wrong. He didn't excuse Israel's sin. He was no longer just pronouncing a woe on them. But now Isaiah, as he gets into the presence of God, he can only say one thing. He says, "Woe is me, for I am undone. I've been focusing on the sins of Israel, but woe is me, for I am undone." It's not only the wicked of Judah that I've been preaching to that are in trouble, but I myself am in trouble with God. Woe is me. For I am, what's it say? Undone. And so students of the Bible have noticed this. The transition in the life and ministry of the prophet Isaiah. Some have even gone so far to call the sixth chapter of Isaiah the prophet's transforming vision. He went from seeing everything that was wrong till still seeing everything that was wrong, but he could see the solution. It happened. When did it happen? The Bible tells us when it happened. It happened in the year that King Uzziah died. The 365-day year, there was a transformation in the life of Isaiah, and this transformation happened in the year that King Uzziah died. And so the encounter and change that happened when Uzziah died, it's important to know a little bit about King Uzziah. Wouldn't that make sense? If this transformation happened in the year that King Uzziah died, then we should know who King Uzziah was. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, you can turn there for reference sake, but I'm going to summarize it. 2 Chronicles chapter 26 tells us that King Uzziah was 16 years old when he took the throne. It tells us there in 2 Chronicles 26 that he went on to reign in Jerusalem for 52 years. It tells us that he was a mighty and a brilliant king. He was brilliant. He built towers in Jerusalem. And everyone goes, yeah, towers in Jerusalem. But Uzziah was so brilliant that he had a vision for the growth and the expansion of Jerusalem. And he went further and he even built towers in the desert. Now, if one of our kings or politicians around here started building infrastructure in the desert, we would say they've got quite a vision, don't they? We're going to expand from Sydney and Melbourne and Canberra and Brisbane, and somehow we're going to grow so big that we're going to need towers and infrastructure in the desert. But Uzziah had such great vision. Uzziah had such great vision for Jerusalem that he built towers in the desert. He had lots of troops in his military, and he had smart men that were creating machinery that would put Israel at the forefront of the technology of their day. He had people who were inventing stuff all the time, weapons of stone, weapons of rock, shields and spears. You see, King Uzziah was greatly used by God. He was greatly inspired by God. Under his leadership, the nation of Israel grew to incredible heights of political, financial, and military power. In Isaiah chapter, in 2 Chronicles 26 verse 5, I hope you've got it there, it says this: for as long as he sought the Lord, for as long as he sought the Lord, what happened? God made him prosper. For as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. I could shut my Bible and say a closing prayer, and we could just leave with that. As long as you seek God, he will cause you to prosper. He will make your way straight. But then we go in this 26th chapter of 2 Chronicles, and we go on to read this. Throw that scripture up there, please, Brother Morty. It says, and he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men or smart men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks and to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped. And speaking of God, for he was marvelously helped till when? Till he was strong. But when he was strong, are you reading what I'm reading? But when he was strong in his own strength, when his hope and his trust was not in God, his heart was lifted up to his own destruction.
For he transgressed against the Lord his God. And what did he do? He went into the temple. He took matters into his own hands. He became his own priest, as it were. He went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. King Uzziah began to think that everything good that was happening was because of him. Look how great I am. I'm a great king. 52 years. I started this thing when I was 16 years old. I'm leading this country. I've got vision. We're building towers. We're building engines. We're expanding and got plans for expansion in the desert. We're doing all this great stuff. Look at all the inventions of my people and the cunningness and the smarts of this nation of Israel. And you know what? King Uzziah began to become all puffed up. He began to think that somehow that all of this was happening because of who he was and what he could do. And the Bible says that God made him prosper as long as he looked unto God. But there came a time when he started to rely on his own strength. He said, look how strong I am. And the Bible says his heart was lifted up to his destruction. And it resulted in a terrible thing. He went into the temple to burn incense on the altar of incense. Everybody says, oh, well, what's wrong with that? You see, he became so puffed up that he became his own pastor. He became his own priest. He knew everything. There was nothing that he didn't know. And so why am I going to wait for some priest to go before me? I'll go in myself into the presence of God. And I'm going to go. And the law forbade that. Uzziah decided to go into the temple to offer incense. Let me tell you today, we know the scripture, pride comes before destruction. And a haughty spirit before a fall. And that's what happened. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up unto his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God. And he went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. He had known success for so long that his heart had become lifted up with pride. He had reached the place where he assumed that I can do nothing wrong in God's sight. And he goes into that holy place in the temple, and he goes in there in complete defiance towards God. We're talking about King Uzziah. And so the 80 priests of the Lord, everyone say 80. 80 priests of the Lord, they went into Uzziah. What's King Uzziah doing? And the priest went into him and they warned him and they said, what are you doing in here, Uzziah? What are you doing? Have you lost your mind? And they tried to pull him out. Look at the scripture. It says in 2 Chronicles 26 verse 19, when they confronted him, he was wroth. And he's standing there with a censer in his hand, burnt to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priests, he's like, who are you to tell me what I can do? I'm quite something, you know. I'm King Uzziah. Look at all the things that I've done. Look at all my achievements. Look at all the people that are submitted to me. Look at all my power and my inventions and my vision. Look at what I've done. And he's standing there looking at the 80 priests, staring them down. He says, what are you going to do? Don't you know who I am? And while he was wroth with the priests, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord from beside the altar of incense. Smitten. Everybody say smitten. God smote him with leprosy. And those 80 priests, or 81 priests, grabbed him and they threw him out. 2 Chronicles 26 verse 20, it says, and Azariah, who was the boss of the priests, Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him. Behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from hence. Himself hasted to go out because the Lord
had smitten him.
And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death. And he dwelt in a several house. Everybody say a leper's house. He was a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. This great king, pride rose up in him. He thought he could do things in his own strength. He thought he was something. And when he became strong in his own strength, destruction came to his soul. Uzziah became a symbol of what Israel had become. Israel had made many bad decisions. Pride had also risen up in the nation of Israel, and they had become casual in their relationship with God. Uzziah became a symbol of what was wrong with the whole nation. A reproach and pride, and there he is, hidden away in a leper's house. Nobody wanted to see him. Why? Because he was a leper. It's an important lesson that we must learn from King Uzziah. You believe me today? There's some lessons we can learn. Because his death, the death of King Uzziah, was a warning to the nation of Israel. It's also a warning to us that without godliness, it opens the gateway to a sorrowful and a tragic finish. We can only find our strength in God. We cannot rise up with pride in our hearts and look at our own achievements and our own strength. Let me tell you, as long as you walk in the ways of God, God will make your path prosper. But when you rise up with pride, let me tell you, destruction is coming your way. And that's what happened to King Uzziah. He thought of himself more highly than he ought to think. He considered himself in a light that was false. He began to think that, oh, look at my kingdom. Everyone say, my kingdom. He began to think like the heathen kings did. Oh, it's my kingdom. And they pulled him out. They got him out of the temple and they threw him out. Let me tell you why those priests threw him out. Because they knew how serious it was. You see, it was the priest's job back in the day. They were kind of like doctors. They were the ones that were to be able to know about leprosy. And look at this. In Leviticus chapter 13, I don't know if it's going to be on the screen. You have to turn there or I'm going to read it. But it says in Leviticus 13 about the diagnosis and what to do with leprosy. And it says, and if there be in the bald head, everybody say a bald head. I got a bald head. And if there be in the bald head or the bald forehead, a white reddish sore, it is a leprosy sprung up in his bald head. I wish they'd get off this bald head thing. Then the priest shall look upon it. And behold, if the rising of the sore be with a white reddish in his bald head or in his bald forehead, as the leprosy appeareth in the skin of the flesh, then he is a leprous man and he is unclean. And the priest shall announce him utterly unclean. His plague, where? The plague is in his head. Leprosy? Where? What does it say where the leprosy was? It was in his head. The plague is in his head. And that was King Uzziah's biggest problem. It was all in his head. Pride had risen up. I'm something. I'm strong. Look at me. And he's got a problem in his head. He's got a big head. He had forgotten about his big God. He thought he had a big head, but really he had a small head. And the Bible says that he had a plague in his head. And the leper in whom the plague is, look, his clothes shall be ripped off and his head shall be bare and he shall put a covering over his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean, unclean. What an embarrassment for Israel, their king. I mean, just imagine. Imagine if it happened to our prime minister. One of our leaders out, the queen. But what an embarrassment for Israel. Uzziah, preceded by the greats of David and Solomon, but now King Uzziah is in a leper's house. He's not in a palace. He's in a leper's house. He's got a veil over his lips. He's got a problem in his head, and he's crying, unclean, unclean. He's shut away, and he's waiting to die. That's King Uzziah. Okay, where did we start? Who did we start with? We started with the prophet Isaiah, and we started talking about King Uzziah. Because the transformation in Isaiah's life came in the year that King Uzziah died. Now, Isaiah lived at the time that all of this was happening. Isaiah was a prophet of God in the middle of all this, and all Isaiah could see were the sins of the people. And he's saying, woe, 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 woe is them. But something happened when King Uzziah died. I mean, Isaiah had seen something unfolding right in front of his eyes. And when King Uzziah died, Isaiah starts doing some soul searching. He starts seeking the face of God. He gets into the presence of God. He's on his knees. He's humbled himself. And he's brought into a place of reality. Suddenly Isaiah can no longer just see the sins of the people, but in God's presence, he gets a revelation that woe is he also, that he is undone. It happened in the year that King Uzziah died, and it happened in the presence of God. He's given a revelation as he sees the power, as he sees the holiness, as he sees the glory of God, as he's experiencing the majesty of God. And he says, woe is me, for I am undone. Isaiah immediately became aware of his own uncleanness, not just for those that are around him, but he also is undone. He said, woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man, everybody say, an unclean prophet. I am a man of unclean lips, and I have dwelt in the midst of the people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. I tell you today, when Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, he said, I am undone. Let me tell you, when we get into the presence of God, we're going to come to the realization that there is nothing good about us, that there is not no power, there is no strength, but everything that we have, everything that we need is in Jesus Christ. And that by his strength we live, by his strength we walk. I can do all things through who? Christ, who gives me strength. A transition, a transformation in the life of the prophet Isaiah. He could no longer just see the sins of the people, but he saw the Lord high and lifted up. Yes, high and lifted up in majesty. Yes, I believe also high and lifted up from the earth. He saw the cross. I believe Isaiah saw a picture of all of that. And there he is. Think about it. Isaiah is this religious man living in a religious nation. He even had some responsibility in the temple. Yet until that moment, he had never truly experienced the holiness of God. And then suddenly that he gets into the presence of God and he understood that all of our human righteousness is as filthy rags. He understood that there is nothing that we can do in our own strength. There is nothing that I can do on my own accord. There is no sacrifice that I can make. There is no good thing that I can produce. None of it will ever stand in the presence of a holy God. Once Isaiah was humbled in the presence of God, the transformation begins to take place. There are people here today who need a transformation in their life. And let me tell you, it doesn't just happen when you hear the preaching of the word. The preaching order get you going in the right direction. But that transformation happens when you get yourself into the presence of God. And so many of us, we can go along and start thinking that we're something and thinking that we've got it all together. We can also think that we become some sort of special Christian and that we've got some sort of special strength. And that's exactly what the devil wants us to think. He wants us to think that, yes, you can do it on your own. You're a good person. You've been serving the Lord a long time. You know a lot about the Bible, and you get puffed up with pride. And let me tell you what's coming, destruction. Because in and of ourselves, we are nothing. And Isaiah, even though he was a great prophet, when he got into the presence of God, he only could say one thing, woe is me. And when we come into the house of God, when we come into the time of worship and we begin to worship God and his presence begins to flow in this place, you can't look around the church and say, oh, look at that person. Oh, look at that person. Oh, look at him. Look at her. Oh, yeah. No, you got a problem in your head if that's the case. Just like Isaiah. Just like Uzziah. And when you get into the presence of God, and when you begin to magnify him, and when you begin to see his holiness, and when you see him high and lifted up, there's only one response. Oh God, woe is me. I'm undone. I want to know you more, God. I need more of your strength. I need your power flowing in me, God. I need you, Jesus. A transformation in the presence of God. A realization and a revelation that woe is me, for I am undone. And suddenly something amazing happens. Isaiah chapter 6 verse 7. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And the seraphim laid it upon the prophet Isaiah's mouth. It said, lo, this has touched your lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Let me tell you, if we would turn back to God in humility, everybody say humility. If we will turn back to God in humility, mercy will come and touch you, and God will forgive. Humility. Everybody say repentance. God, I was wrong. I was walking in the wrong way. I was relying on my own strength. I had begun to make up my own laws. I had become my own priest. I had become even my own God, that I would determine what was right and wrong. But if we would turn back to God in humility, mercy will come and touch you. And God will forgive. David knew something about the mercy of God. He said, surely mercy, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I'm here to tell you today that sometimes you're going to walk down the wrong path, but mercy and goodness is following you all the days of your life. It says in the Bible, if I make my pit in hell, that God would even be there for you right in the middle of that place. God is trying to call you back. Come on, why don't you just humble yourself? Why don't you just get a realization of the greatness of God and humble yourself, because mercy will reach out. I want to tell you today that mercy's reaching out to somebody today. Mercy followed you into this place today. God has arranged, not by coincidence, the preaching of such a message, which seems so strange and nothing that I've ever preached before. Yet mercy has arranged it all so that you can respond with humility. Turn back to God. And being touched by mercy, Isaiah begins to hear from God. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8. Mercy touched his lips and he says, and I heard the voice of the Lord. Anybody want to hear the voice of the Lord? Isaiah, who am I going to send? Who's going to go for us? And Isaiah says, oh God, here I am. Send me. I'll be a prophet of mercy. I know I've been calling out all the sins of Israel, but now in your presence, God, I understand your mercy. I understand that I was undone. I've been focusing on everyone else's sins, but Lord, even myself, oh God, I am undone. But your mercy has touched my life. I'll be a prophet. I'll be a preacher of mercy. I will go out and show mercy. I will preach this gospel to this world. I'll be an ambassador of mercy. Here I am, Lord. Send me. I've been looking at King Uzziah, wicked and arrogant. King Uzziah had everything everybody wanted, but he lost it all because he had a leprosy in his head. Isaiah says, I've been pointing fingers, but I am the person of unclean lips. I've seen the sins of others, but I'm just as much a sinner as anybody else. Woe is me, for I am undone. Let me tell you, without the blood of Jesus applied to your life, you are a sinner. Jesus died for your sins. His blood was shed, and when the blood is applied to your life through the born-again experience, when that blood is applied, you are no longer a sinner. Because his blood has washed away your sins. If it wasn't for the grace of God, if it wasn't for the mercy of God, we can only ask one thing, where would I be? Maybe it's been a long time since you've truly been in the presence of God. And if we stay away a long time, we start to think, I did this and I did that and I've got this figured out and I've got that figured out. And sometimes we can feel holy when we compare ourselves to others. But we aren't going to be compared to others. The Bible says that he that compareth himself among themselves are what? Unwise. Because we aren't going to be compared to others. We're going to be compared to God. So, now, how holy are you? How righteous are you when you're standing in the power and the presence of God? Oh, but I did this and I did that and I did these good things. No. In comparison to the holiness of God, how holy are you? Your self-sufficiency will cause you, if you become self-sufficient, it will cause you, just like King Uzziah, to be smitten with spiritual leprosy. Your self-sufficiency will cause you to fall. It will cause you to fail. And Uzziah saw it all unfolding in front of his eyes. Isaiah saw Uzziah appointed king at 16. Wow. He saw him reign 52 years. Wow. He saw him humble and he saw him proud. And then in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah said, I have seen enough. Woe is me, for I am undone. Isaiah's mistake. But then he became to that realization. As long as Uzziah sought the Lord, God made him prosper. When he was strong, when pride came into his heart, it was lifted up unto destruction. Who can stand before a holy God? John chapter 15, verse 4 and 5. This is how you can stand before a holy God. Abide in me. Who do we abide in? Jesus. And I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. You've got to abide in the vine. You've got to be in Christ. You've got to be connected to the vine. The life source is in the vine. Except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in me. Jesus said, you can't make it without me. He says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Isaiah says, without God. I saw it in King Uzziah. I saw it. He can't do anything without God. And he said, and nor can I. Oh God, I'm a prophet. I don't want to try to do things in my own strength. God, I am undone. I need you. We've got to be in Christ. Everybody say in Christ. You can never clean your hands in the filthiness of your own righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:17. As we close, it says, therefore, if any man be, what? In Christ. Where is our sufficiency? In Christ. Where is our strength? In Christ. Where is our healing? In Jesus Christ. Where is my victory? In Jesus. Where is my strength? In Jesus. Where is my identity? In Jesus. Where is my righteousness? In Jesus. Where is my hope? In Jesus. Where is my joy? In Jesus. Where is my life? In Jesus. We can only make it if we are in Jesus Christ. Because if we are outside of him, we are undone. Oh, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, not walking after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Colossians chapter 2 verse 8 says this, beware lest that any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. After the tradition of men, after the rudiments of this world, beware of anybody who says you can do this outside of Jesus Christ. Beware. Philosophy. Everybody say philosophy. Everybody say vain deceit. Everybody say traditions. Everybody say rudiments of the world. Beware of them that say you can do it without Christ. Why? It says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Oh, we can't read that without reading the next one. And you are complete. Where? In him. In who? In Jesus. You are complete in Jesus. This world is full of people trying to find completeness, trying to find wholeness, trying to get in touch with themselves and their inner selves, and trying to find fulfillment, trying to get complete in the things of this world. And our completeness is only in Jesus Christ. It says, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. You can only do this in Jesus Christ. Woe is me, for I am undone. But when you get yourself in Jesus Christ, when you put on Christ, everybody say put on Christ. When you get in Christ, you are a new creature. The old things, the pride, all those old things are passed away. And you can go and stand before a holy God. Why? Because I'm no longer Jonathan Downs, but I've taken his name. My name is Jonathan Downs Jesus. I have taken on his righteousness. I have taken on his holiness. Woe is me. I need to be in Christ. You can only do this if you're in Christ, and Christ is in you. And some of us here today maybe been walking with the Lord a long time. Maybe you got a problem in your head. You found yourself with pride risen up. You still come to church, but it's been about what you can do. I pray that you would have a transformation in the presence of God today. And realize that we can only do this when we are connected to the vine. I am the vine, Jesus says. If you've been saved, it's time to get back into Jesus Christ. It's trying to find, you got a time to find your sufficiency in Jesus Christ. It's time to find everything in Jesus Christ, because you can't build a life on anything else. It's all sand unless you build on the rock, which is Jesus Christ. For those that maybe have never been walking with the Lord, and maybe you're new here today,
Or maybe you've never ever been baptized. I want to tell you how you get in Christ. It says, for as many of you as have been baptized, what? Into Christ. In His name, have put on Christ. Oh, there is no Jew. The Jews can't walk and say, I'm a Jew. I've got a right. No, Jew, you got a problem in your head. No Gentile can come in and say, I got a right. I'm going to go and burn incense. I got to go take matters into my own hands. No, you got a problem in your head, Gentile, because there is no Jew and there is no Gentile. There is no segregation. There is no bond nor free. There is no male nor female. For you are all one. Where? In Christ. Our strength is in Jesus. Our healing is in Jesus. Our hope is in Jesus. My identity is in Jesus. My salvation is in Jesus. Everything you need is in Jesus Christ. Let's stand in this place today.